Previously on Corporate Homie.
Being in a new position or role.
Lead by example. Attitude reflects leadership.
And I don't want these people in my business.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Hosting a corporate event or a corporate reception.
You cannot set the ticket price until you have a budget.
Do you need a hashtag?
I thought I was coming for a sachet Shantae, and it was a program.
It just seems ironic and a little foul. What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo.
Welcome back. I just want to say at the top of the episode that if you are enjoying the Corporate Homie Podcast, please drop us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it on iTunes. We really appreciate you showing us some love.
Thank you in advance for doing that. So this week's episode is about hosting a corporate event or a corporate reception, and what are the best practices to doing that. So, it could be something for work. It could be, I guess, a political fundraiser. It could be something in your home. It could be at a restaurant, but we want to talk about the best way to do those things.
Correct. We have had a lot of people who have come to events that we've hosted, personally and professionally, and so we wanted to talk about how you host an event, how you figure out all the ins and outs of it.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. So my first tip is the guest list matters. You need to, obviously based on whatever your event is about, if it's, about a specific person or what have you, you need to consult that person. But I would just say, please be mindful that people take things very personally. So even when you're hosting, say, a birthday party for your friend, if certain people don't get invited, their feelings are hurt. So I would just say, know your target audience and be very mindful of the guest list.
I think that's right, because there are guests that you want to attend, and then there are people that you are going to feel like, well, if I invite Bimitra, then I have to invite Dimitra, and maybe I wasn't going to make the cut, but now you just don't want to offend anybody or whatever, if that's your purpose, and go from there. I think sort of with the same thing about the guest list matters. Before you can really do anything, you need to figure out the purpose of your event. Why are you hosting this event? What do you expect to accomplish from hosting it? I feel like even if it's a birthday party, if you're like, I'm hosting it because I just want Tina to feel special on her birthday. Went to a really cool Kwanzaa event, and you could tell that the whole point of the event was to not only celebrate Kwanzaa, but to get others to thinking about celebrating Kwanzaa and the importance of Kwanzaa. And so I think it was very clear. And so whether you need to really, once you understand your goals, and then I think it will help you create an interactive brand experience. And of course, as we've discussed many times, brand is not only if you're hosting a corporate event, but brand is also your personal brand. And what kind of events do you want associated with you?
I could not agree more. I have been to events that I wasn't exactly sure, as a guest attending the event, what they wanted us to get from the event. Like, did they want us to just raise awareness? Did they want to celebrate that organization? Did they want us to think about becoming donors to that organization? Did they want us to think about becoming volunteers to that organization? So it's like, this was really nice, but I don't know what our takeaway as an attendee should have been. So I think having a clear purpose is a lot more complex than people give it credit for. I would say the next point, and I know this is kind of all pre-event kind of thing, but the details matter. One of the things that can throw off people enjoying your event is just not having somewhere to park. So like parking and lighting, sound. There is an event space here that people like to have events at that I'm not a fan of because the acoustics are horrible. And like, it's just very difficult to communicate in the venue. And so I don't like to have things there because I'm like, you can't hear anybody. And even when people can't hear the speaker, even with amplified sound, like it's the acoustics are just horrible in the event. And my last point on the details matter are be mindful of other community events that are happening. Like I'll use this as an example. And I'm going to put something on blast, but that's okay. Tampa has a big thing called Gasparilla, which is basically like think of it like Mardi Gras in Tampa. The Bay Area Founders Day is Gasparilla afternoon. I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you host Founders Day on Saturday of Gasparilla? That's just, to me, that's just silly. But, you know, my two cents.
Right. No, but I totally agree. I think all of that matters. And like you said, your location, the lighting, all of that. With respect to location, I do think that that sort of goes back to your theme or purpose. You know, you really need to be thinking, are you having something at your home? Are you having something at your office? Is it something in an event space? And you know, what that looks like. That takes me into my next point, which is budget. I get really frustrated, especially when I'm doing things with civic organizations and they want to host something, and we'll start at the top of the meeting like, how much do we want the ticket price to be? And they're literally like, I don't think anybody should have to pay more than $40. And
like, where did that number come from?
And maybe that's the bankruptcy lawyer in me, but I'm truly like, you cannot set the ticket price until you have a budget. You need to it's totally backwards, which oftentimes is why you're not making money and the event is actually costing you money, because you have to figure out, you know, how much everything costs. Are we having a photographer? Are we having food? Are we having decorations? Are we having valet? How much do each of those things cost? You really need to get your bids, all of those things in, set the budget. Then you can figure out your ticket price and all those things.
Right. And then how many people you want to invite, and what the attrition is going to be, you know, because I find that when you're doing this, speaking of the budget and the cost, is people are overly optimistic in terms of how many people are going to attend. And I'm more like, we're going to get a 30% pull through rate. So you might as well invite like twice the amount of people that you think are going to attend if you really want it to be successful.
Right. But people really see the budget piece even when they're doing, you know, so you see this a lot, especially when people are doing like weddings or bridal showers or baby showers, where they forget that people are going to attend, but that you may not have a budget for 50 people. You may only have a budget for 25. Because and so you may not be able to do it that way. So you're talking more on a personal level.
Right. I also would say, think about, my next step is, I don't know how to say it other than the flow of the event. I've been to events where they over invited, right? So they'll have 100 people in a room and then one bar in the back of the room, and people are standing in line for 40 minutes to get a bottle of water or a cocktail, and that's not a pleasant event experience, right? So it's like, okay, be mindful of, okay, if we're going to have 100 people in this room, then we need a bar at each end of the room or something like that, right? And so just the flow of the event needs to be taken into consideration in terms of how people will maneuver around the room. How long do you want people to take to get a drink? How long do you want the mingling hour to be? How long do you want the program to be? To the extent we've been unclear, every woman hates an event where there's nowhere to sit and they have a 40-minute program. Now people are standing around in their heels and their feet hurt. And it's so silly. So like, flow and experience matters.
I completely agree with that. And layout. And
right.
You should decide.
Thank you, layout.
I went to an event the other day, and it had a program, and I didn't understand that it was going to have a program.
And you wouldn't have gone.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that, but I just need to get my mind right. Like, I thought I was coming for, you know, a sachet Shantae, and it was a program. And I think you need to really make sure your guests understand what they're attending so that they can match your intensity and energy and around your event, because you want them to enjoy the experience and to understand what you're planning for them. My next thing is timeline. A lot of times events do not come off well because you have not given yourself sufficient time to plan them. Very good events take 6 to 12 months to pull off. And so, and this always floors me, especially again with civic organizations. I'm amazed at the number of people who want to have a major like corporate event or fundraiser for something like the 10th anniversary of the organization or 15th anniversary. And they didn't want to start planning it 90 days before. You're like, it's an anniversary. You knew that right. was coming. You, and especially if you haven't done it in the past. Now, if you have an event that you have and it's sort of on rock and roll, but otherwise you need to give yourself sufficient time depending on what it is so that you can make sure, like if you want to have a retirement celebration for someone, that you have sufficient time to check everybody
calendars to that's get important that for them yeah to be there to honor that person.
That's right. Yeah. If you want to make sure you get a proclamation from the city or the mayor to attend, you can't do that with a 90-day window.
Right. Now, you can plan a dinner party in 90 days, you know, for, but not, like you said,
or less than
like
that.
You said, not an annual, you know, milestone celebration. That's a fantastic point. My next point, which is going to sound silly, but I see people do it all the time, is make sure that the folks who are planning the event have experience in doing whatever the event is. I cannot tell you how many golf tournaments I've been to that civic organizations or nonprofits put on that are like scholarship fundraisers, and it's clear that no one who was on the planning committee plays golf. Right. And you're like, this all like done inappropriately. This is not laid out right. We don't do it this way, right? It's at the wrong time of day. You know, they've got, you know, it's just it's just evident that there's not a single golfer on the committee, right? So whatever your event is, make sure that there's somebody who has experience in doing whatever that event may be. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I think that's right. Like, if you want to have your first tea party, you might want to have somebody who knows something about tea, who's actually been to high tea before.
Yes.
You want to have.
Right. So you're not, yeah, I think that so you're not serving mini pizzas.
Shooting in the dark. Right. Again, stop shooting in the dark. Which takes me to my last point, which is promotion. You need to figure out like how you get it out. What is the method that you get it out? If you're just hosting a dinner party, are you trying to send a text? Are you trying to send, you know, an Evite or a punch bowl? Are you trying to actually send out paper invitations? If it's a corporate event, do you need to have it advertised on social media? Do you need it on the radio? Do you need it in the
Do you need a
newspaper?
Hashtag?
Right. How are you going to get it out? How are you going to get your people there? What's your mechanism for doing so?
That's an outstanding point. My last point is dovetails very nicely on yours. I am amazed that people who host events where they're honoring people or having a keynote speaker or what have you, and then that honoree, that speaker says nothing about that person's event on their personal social media. Like, you should encourage, if you're having an event where you're going to honor four people, those four people should be encouraged to promote your event through their own personal network, right? It just seems like a big miss to not tap into the honorees or the keynote speakers own networks. And it makes it feel like they don't care about your event. I know that sounds harsh, but I mean, it's like, especially if they are sharing on social media other events that they participated in, but not yours, right? It just seems ironic and a little foul. I'll just be honest.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've definitely seen that where someone was about to get an award, you know, from the Corporate Homie Foundation, right. And they are not mentioning it, but they're promoting that they're going to be speaking on a panel at the such and such. And
that's so, after the Corporate Homie Foundation's event.
Right. And sometimes you think, you know, it is a sign of they don't value your event or the quality of it, or they whatever. And so I also think you made a great point about if you want to honor someone, make sure you have, especially if it's a ticketed event, that you factored into the budget and everything, that they, that the person being honored needs tickets for not only themselves, but for their significant other and children or whatever. And so while you're going to honor four people, you may give each honoree three tickets. So it's four tickets per person. So that's another, you know, if you're honoring five people, that's another 20 tickets that are gratis. So you just need to factor, kind of keep all that in.
Yeah, I said that was my last point, but actually I have one more point. This is specific to luncheon events. And everyone in Tampa complains about this because all the organizations do it, which I don't know why they continue to do this. Lunch during the week is in the middle of the business day. No one has right. 3.5 hours for your luncheon. And so there should not be a break to eat. Run your program while we are eating. So, you know, you get there and it's like an 11:30 registration. The luncheon starts at 12. And then there's like this 20-minute break to eat. And it's like, what are we doing? We need to get back to work. So like if you cut that break and run your program while people eat, you will get better attendance. And more importantly, people won't be leaving before your event is over because they have to get back to work.
You know, and that's a really good point, because I think if you have a reputation as someone who just does everything late and you're a step behind, it can also make or change who's wanting or able, because sometimes I'll desire to attend an event during the week, but I know that they are not timely and they're going to require more time, like you said, that I can give in the middle of the day. And so while I would normally, you know, be in their target audience and want to support, I'll choose not to support because of what you're saying. It's going to take 3 hours and I really only have 2 hours to give them. So I do think that that is something to think about. Again, that's more of like how to, you know, just keep it as simple and efficient as for the attendee as possible. So as always, we really appreciate you listening. We hope that you found this episode helpful. If you've hosted an event or never hosted an event and you use some of these tips, we would love to hear from
or
you.
Or if you think that we missed some significant topic, drop us a comment after you listen to the episode and let us know. You can always connect with us on all things social. If you have further topics that you want for us to address, this is how most of the topics that we discuss come directly from the homies. Feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com or send us a message and a direct message through Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and we'll address it accordingly.
That's right. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The all of you get you a twin, get you another homie.